Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albracht and Tommy Kester.
And happy Friday morning to you, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. I'm Tommy Kester, along with Paul Savage, in for Jacob Albracht as we get you ready for a Football Friday. Looking forward to getting into everything today, including the Kansas Jayhawks, the Kansas State Wildcats, the Kansas City Chiefs, all in action. Also, some other top 25 matchups in college football, some big-time NFL matchups. And, oh, by the way, the Royals are still trying to clinch a playoff spot as they begin a big series at home this weekend against the San Francisco Giants. We will get into all of that, plus our Friday football picks here on Sports Daily in hour number two. Paul, myself, Jacob Albracht will be joining us. Brandon Zinner, TJ Cleland, both from 12 News, will also be joining the program to give their picks for the weekend as well. So it's a jam-packed show. The IHOP hotline is open at 869-1240 for the entire two-hour-long program. Hope you can join us there. You can also leave your video comments on our video stream by watching us on Facebook, on YouTube, on X, also on 12 News Connected. Paul Savage, good morning to you. Happy Friday, my friend.
Well, same to you. I know you got a lot of great plans for the weekend. So do I. And it's just here. We're ready. But I'm ready for a good show today. Boy, we got some really great topics today. I'm really excited about today's show.
Well, Fridays are always fun because, of course, you know, we are getting ready for the big football weekend,
right?
You know, especially this time of year. By the way, we'll also talk to TJ Cleland in hour two about high school football. Of course, that continues as well. So we'll talk to him from Ketchup, Kansas after our Friday football picks. So a jam-packed show here this morning. And with our Friday football picks, Paul, this is kind of where I want to start very briefly.
All right.
There's only two of us out of the five that are picking for the Friday football picks that currently through 3 weeks have records over 500. Mm-hmm. And those two people are you and me.
Hey, congratulations. How do you feel about that? Tommy, congratulations, man. I knew you could do it. I've had confidence in you all along that you'll be in the running for a championship in Friday football picks. I don't think you'll win it, but I think you'll be in the running.
Yeah, I mean, you've got a few game lead over me. In fact, I think a 3 game lead. You have 12 wins, a 3 game lead over me in our Friday football picks through the first couple of weeks. You've done pretty well so far. Has anybody ever told you that you are the Shohei Ohtani of picking football games?
Well, I don't think anybody's ever used those words, but I get your point. And by the way, if only I was as good as Ohtani at anything in the world. I don't even care if it'd be tiddlywinks. I don't care whatever it is. If only I could be as good as him as he is at baseball.
Well, I mean, he had one of the best games, maybe the best game in Major League Baseball history yesterday. 10 RBIs. What did he have? 3 home runs in the game.
Multiple stolen bases. 2 stolen bases.
I mean, yeah, he's, you know, the best baseball player on the planet, and he's not even pitching. Hasn't even pitched all season long. I'm not sure that we fully appreciate just in general how transformative of a player he is. I think everybody knows that he's the best player in baseball, but you know, just watching what he has done throughout his time in the big leagues, it's almost kind of like, what more can he do? And then he follows it up yesterday with one of the best all-time offensive performances.
Oh my gosh. It was just unbelievable. It was either 10 or 11 RBIs. I'm not real sure. I think it's 10, but anyway,
I think it was 10.
Yeah. But a 20 run outburst by the Dodgers over the Marlins. I mean, come on, the Marlins, you know, they're not that good, but still 20 runs and 10 RBI is just unbelievable. And here's the other thing, Tommy. And I don't know if you have formed an opinion on this. I really like the guy. Now, I can't understand a word he's saying, obviously. But there's something about him I like. And you know what I think it goes back to? And I know this sounds crazy, and nobody would ever probably say anything like this as to why I would like a particular player when I don't, you know, speak his language and he doesn't speak ours, but that's okay. And that is, it seems like, at least with the grace that he handled, remember when he was embezzled out of several million dollars by his, you know, then very, very dear friend, interpreter, and that was an ugly deal. that was a betrayal that, you know, we don't see very often amongst friends. I don't believe that I have any friends that would betray me to that level, and I know you don't. But, you know, the way he handled that was with grace. Now, he may have been saying things in a language that I didn't understand, and he may have been really on top of this guy, but he handled it with grace from what I could tell. That told me a lot about him. That made me want to root for him. That made me say, you know, this is a special guy, not only athletically, but you know, he kept the better angels on his side when, quite frankly, you could have lost a couple of angels in the way you could have approached that with losing several million dollars to embezzlement by somebody you care for. So
By losing angels, Paul, do you mean losing members of the Angels baseball team that he played for? Is that what you're talking about?
No, the better angels of heaven. Oh, you know, okay. You know, the better of people. How about the better thing that is in people? That's what I meant. The better angels of you and me as we walk through daily life. That's what I'm talking about. But so I'm kind of a fanboy. I like
guy. I think in today's world, and I think maybe this is part of what you're saying, is in today's world, it's really, really difficult to get people to forget about some kind of controversy that happens, right? Like if you are the center of controversy or the center of a really dramatic, like off the field issue or something like that, it's really difficult to get people to move on from something that's happened in that regard. And really, even some of the best players in the world, and I can only think of a handful of people that have really successfully, I think, done that. Even some of the best players in the world have been embroiled in some kind of controversy.
Yes, they have.
And they have a hard time moving past that. And the best way to do that is to go out and absolutely dominate in your field and dominate in the game that you're playing. And I don't feel like, I mean, nobody is talking about that anymore. Like nobody's talking about that situation with his interpreter anymore, because he has quieted everybody around the country, around the world, even with the way that he's played baseball. It's impressive. I mean, I can think of like Kobe Bryant is somebody that had some personal controversies and was able to move past that. And people kind of forgot about that happening with him because he was so dominant in what he did. So it's rare when that sort of thing happens, and Shohei's been able to do that.
That's really fun. You know, one of the side notes that I get a kick out of, because, you know, I really have an appreciation for sports memorabilia, as you know, and I got a kick out of this. Did you know that over the last week or two that Baseball Hall of Fame has had a traveling representative follow him to game to game to game to game and ready to go? And last night, after he got his 50-50, that representative went down to the locker room, took him into the locker room, and took every stitch of clothes he had on him. Took it all, because they were going to take all that to the Baseball Hall of Fame: the uniform, the helmet, the belt, the glove, the shoes, the sock. All of it was taken off, and he had to put on a whole new outfit. And I kind of got a kick out of that, because here you are in the middle of a game. Now, granted, it's not much of a game. There's no threat of, you know, the Marlins winning this game. But I got a kick out of that. You know, that history of 50-50. And just when I want to say, and I just about said on the air, I'm not going to do it, this is a record that won't be broke. You know something? I guess I'm probably wrong. This is a record that can be broke, right? This is a record that can be broke, and it might be broke. Will anybody ever get to 60-60? I, you know something? The realist in me says, no, 60-60, are you kidding me? Until somebody gets to 60-60. So I don't know. Do you think anybody will ever get to 60-60?
I think it could be done. I think it's going to be really difficult to be accomplished. I mean, obviously, Shohei's the very first player to ever get to 50-50. If you had asked me a year ago at this time, I would have said, and I'm a Braves fan, I would have said Ronald Acuna would be a guy that could maybe go 50-50. He went 40-40.
Yeah, okay.
He went 40-40 a year ago.
Well,
and,
that's right. You can make a case.
Was the MVP of the league.
I see that, yeah.
But he is injured, and he's missed the remainder of the season. It's another knee injury for him that's going to be hard to bounce back from. Honestly, and this may be a homer type take, if there's going to be anybody other than Shohei to get to 50-50 in the next decade, it's probably Bobby Witt Jr. I mean, he's posted back-to-back 30-30 seasons.
I don't know.
He's only been in the big leagues for 3 years. if anybody's going to be, I mean, the another guy other than Shohei to potentially get to that point, I think it would probably be Witt.
Well, but 30-30 to 50-50, that's kind of a jump, Tommy. That's kind of a big...
Well, I'm not talking about him doing it next season. I think, if you're looking at down the road, I mean, keep in mind, the guy is still extremely young, and he's been able to do 30-30 early in his career two different times in back-to-back years. If people believe that he can get even better than what he is right now, I mean, man, yeah, he could certainly challenge for that.
Well, no, you do have a point. My contention is that right now, my contention would be that we've never heard of the next guy that gets 50-50. That's kind of like it. I mean, and as a matter of fact, I'm not.
So nobody else in the big leagues right now, you think, has a chance to sniff that?
No, I don't think so. I mean, even the jump from 40-40, how hard is 40-40? It's a little tough. And to make that jump to 50-50, for all I know, the next guy to get to 50-50 isn't even born yet. I mean, seriously, that could be the case. We don't know. And then, of course, 60-60, if ever I said there was a record that will never be met, that might be at 60-60. But on the other hand, if I was to say to you, Tommy, do you think anybody will ever break Cy Young's all-time wins total? 511 wins.
Well, that's not going to go anywhere. That was a different era of baseball.
Yeah, and by the way, we did a radio show probably 10 years ago where we were talking about everybody had to come up with the one record that they thought would never be broke, and some thought, the 100 points of Wilt Chamberlain. I mean, there are all kinds, and we had callers call in. All kinds of people came up with really unique records, and a lot of them, I think they're probably right, they may not ever be broke. But my choice for records that will never be broke was obviously Cy Young, 511 wins, and of course, baseball's changed. I mean, baseball's changed to the fact that, it used to be 300 wins automatically got you into the Baseball Hall of Fame, right? Now it's almost 200. Now, if you have a career 200 wins, you're one of the better pitchers in all of baseball. So, this might be on that verge of when you're thinking, how many home runs, how many stolen bases in one season can one guy get? Maybe we're at that level. Maybe this is a record that just based upon the way baseball is played today, it can't be broken. I'm not saying that it will or won't. I'm just saying this is a tough one. Only one guy. They've been playing baseball for, 160 years, 70 years, whatever it is. They've been playing baseball a long time. Nobody's done this up to this point. There have been some really good baseball players, but nobody's done it. So I don't know.
There have been five guys that have done 40-40.
That's all.
I guess now six, counting Shohei. Maybe Shohei was in already the 40-40 club. But regardless, only a handful of players been in 40-40. Shohei's the only one in 50-50. I think it's unlikely, but I do think if there is another current Major League Baseball player that could ever get to that point, my vote would be Bobby Witt Jr. just because of what he's done in the first few years of his career. But regardless, it doesn't take anything away from Shohei and his accomplishments. No. I mean, it's fantastic. And the way in which he did it, going 6-for-6 last night, blasting all those home runs, 10 RBIs. I mean, it would have been one thing if he had went, 1-for-5 in the game and hit a solo shot in a loss and maybe swiped a base. That's kind of an uneventful way to get to that club. But he made it. He got to that club in style, I guess, is my point.
Style. I like the way you phrased that. I like that. That's exactly right. He did it with style and aplomb, and I think that's wonderful. But, you look at Ohtani. I mean, who knows where he could be? I mean, where he is right now, boy, the expectations from him from now on. I mean, will his season be looked upon as a failure if he gets to, say, 35-35 next year or 40-40 next year or 43-43? I mean,
I think it all depends on what kind of pitcher he comes back as, because I mean, he'll be pitching again and he's a pretty dominant pitcher as well. I mean, and it's not taking anything away from him whatsoever. He's the best all around baseball player we probably have ever seen in the game, able to do everything. And so it's just impressive. By the way, the record that I'm sure this is a popular pick, but the record that I think that will never be broken is Cal Ripken consecutive games. Oh. There's no way that anybody will play that number of consecutive games ever again in a way that, like, training staffs are and longevity in baseball and, you know, players. Like, I know that Bobby Witt Jr. has basically played every game this season for the Royals. Take that and multiply it by what, 17 or 18. That's going to be pretty impossible for anybody to come close to.
Yeah, that's right. That was a good one. That was, you know, that might be my second choice because you're right. And partly it's that record, just like my record, your record. Baseball managers handle their players differently than they did with Cal Ripken, than they did with Cy Young, obviously. It's a different game. The opportunity to do what Cal Ripken has done, it'll never happen again because that's not really the nature of baseball anymore, is it?
It's really not. And, you know, so that makes these records like what Shohei did last night that much more impressive because, you know, it sets the entire game up at a higher level for sure. So congratulations to him. Before we go to break, Paul, while we're on the topic of baseball, sure, we're going to have a lot of football talk between now and the end of the show. So very quickly, the Royals, we talked about Bobby Witt a few minutes ago. They kick off a 3-game set this weekend at home, taking on the Giants. You know, it's the final regular season home games. Obviously, fans are hoping for some home playoff games for sure, but the final 3 games at home in the regular season for the Royals at Kauffman Stadium this weekend, starting tonight, the Royals are sliding. They've had a rough week. They still are looking to clinch a playoff spot. The magic number remains at 8. It's been at 8 basically all week long. The Giants are not a dominant team like we know of Giants teams in the past, but man, this weekend, especially at home, is crucial for Kansas City.
Well, it is. And of course, you know, there's a lot of truth. Now, some people say it really doesn't matter how you go into the playoffs. And you know, I've always felt like if you go into the playoffs, you got to go in playing strong, be it playing good baseball. I know that the same thing applied in professional football when we'd go into the playoffs, which we would have playoffs, not necessarily at the high school level. But I guess the playoffs are sort of that way nowadays. But I know one thing. When we head into postseason, we want to head in playing well, and so do the Royals. So it worries me a little that you're not playing well. But there's still some time to right the ship, to get things worked out right and heading the right direction. But I would rather see, obviously, the Royals playing pretty good baseball heading into the playoffs. But, you know, and that's assuming that they can get to the playoffs because, you know, if they stay on a streak like they're on right now, you know, I don't know. Do they make it? They probably do. But, you know, I want to see them playing well. But then that next game in the playoffs gets a little tougher, doesn't it?
Well, sure. And I brought up the point the other day on the show that everybody is so focused on will they or won't they make the playoffs that there hasn't been a lot of conversation about what will happen
event
that they do.
Good point.
I wonder what that team will look like. They've got to get it turned around. The team has been streaky all season long.
Well, they
unfortunately,
have, I guess.
Unfortunately, they're on the cold side of a streak this moment, but it's a great opportunity to turn this around. I think my expectation is you've got to take at least 2 or 3 from the Giants this weekend. I think they're a better team than the Giants from top to bottom. I think they should be able to sweep the Giants this weekend. That's got to be the goal. I'm not sure that's the expectation, but you have to get that magic number down even further before you go on the road to Washington and then Atlanta. Right. Obviously, we'll have coverage of all of those games this weekend right here on KFH. Baseball coverage on KFH is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. That wraps up our talk on baseball here on the show. Coming up and basically the rest of today, it's all about football. We'll start with the Chiefs after the break as they play in primetime on Sunday against the Falcons. That and a ton more, including our Friday football picks at the top of hour number 2. It's all coming up for you on Sports Daily here on KFH. Welcome back, everybody, to Sports Daily on KFH. This portion of the program brought to you by Prairie Fire Coffee. Always enjoy getting fueled up and caffeinated by our friends over at Prairie Fire Coffee. Delicious cup of coffee. Always a great way to start the morning. Paul, I'm doing the show from my home studio today. So speaking of coffee, I went out during the break to grab myself a cup of my own coffee, which is not nearly as good as Prairie Fire, by the way. But was getting a cup of coffee. Are you a Halloween person? Do you like the fall time and Halloween and all of that?
Well, when I was a kid, I liked the free candy. But I mean, no, not necessarily. It's certainly not my favorite holiday by any stretch. It was a chance to go out and get free candy when I was younger. Now it's a chance just to kind of turn my lights off and hope nobody comes by. No,
just buy a bag of candy for yourself and not answer the door.
I don't mean that. I'm just joking. I like all the little tykes, and I've got a bunch of little tykes, you know, on my block, and I will have the candy. I'll have candy there. I'll have the light on for the neighbor kids, and then if we get some neighbor kids, good. If not, well, that's just. But no, I've kind of outgrown Halloween. Yeah. I've outgrown it.
So my wife is a diehard Halloween fan. She loves it. And so I stepped out of my home studio during the break to go grab a cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. And today is the day that she is decorating the house for Halloween and for fall.
You lucky
and
guy.
So there are pumpkins all, it's like a pumpkin factory threw up in my living room. And I didn't realize it was happening today. Maybe she told me, I kind of forgot, I guess. But it's going to be 97 degrees outside today.
It is.
And so I have a hard time wrapping my head around decorating for fall and Halloween.
Yeah, and as you start talking about pumpkins, I love pumpkin pie. I'm not going to lie to you. I love pumpkin pie. I know a lot of people don't, but I do. So if she's decorating with pumpkins, now are they real pumpkins or are they fake pumpkins?
No, they're like decorative pumpkins all around the house.
Okay. We're not eating any
of them. Yeah, she lit a candle that I think is pumpkin spice or something. And so I thought I smelled something in my studio this morning. Yeah. And it, sure enough, it's pumpkin spice candle.
At least you didn't smell yourself. That's the best thing. I said, it's a pumpkin. I got you.
That's true. Hey, Jad, what are the odds that we'll end up having a pumpkin spice candle lit in the KFH studio?
Slim to none.
I think it's this right here. It is that right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure we're allowed to have like open fires in this building. I don't think we are.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that. That would be probably a liability.
Well, the studio's a funny thing because I know one time I had a little clone on and I walked into the studio. I was doing a show with Bob Lutz and he reamed me a new one. He reamed me a new one. What are you doing wearing that stuff? Hey, don't you know that anybody? What are you doing? How come you're wearing that stuff? And, blah, blah, blah. And he went on for like 5 minutes, you know, because I had just a little touch of little, you know, a little cologne on. And I got reamed a new one. So I don't wear cologne. I don't wear anything that smells in a studio. And I'm assuming that Jad's not going to let anything that stinks come into this studio.
What was he jealous that you smelled better than him? Is that what was going on?
I don't know. All I know is I got reamed. Now, this was a while back, but I got reamed a new one. But you know something? To Bob's credit, I've got to say this. It makes sense. Who am I to impose my smells on somebody in a small room like this that's captive with me? Who am I to do that? So, you know something? He got on me, and I took it like a man, and I says, you know, okay, you're right. I'm not doing it. And from that day on, I won't wear any kind of cologne into a radio station.
Tommy, I remember that day, back in those days with Paul and
really?
Bob.
Yeah.
And Bob was right. Whatever that stuff, that high karate stuff reeked. I mean, it was terrible.
It was high class, whatever it was. And I smelled darn good.
You know what, Paul? As long as the ladies liked it, that's the only thing that matters.
That's the, you know something? You got a point right there. That is well said, my friend.
Let's get into some football talk, get away from this cologne and pumpkin spice talk that we have started this segment off with. The Chiefs in action on Sunday night. It's primetime Sunday night football on the road in Atlanta, taking on a Falcons team that has a new quarterback in Kirk Cousins.
Yep.
The Falcons, they were able last week to pull out a win, basically snatching victory from the jaws of defeat against the Philadelphia Eagles on the final drive of the game. Kirk Cousins led them down to victory. And Paul, I talked about this yesterday with PJ Glasser, our betting insider, that I was kind of concerned about Kirk Cousins through the first seven quarters or so of the season. Like, is he fully back? Is he the guy that the Falcons want him to be? Will he be effective? I was concerned about that. And then in that fourth quarter, you know, he led the Falcons to victory. Are you bought in on Kirk Cousins with the Falcons? How much of a threat do you think he'll pose to Kansas City on Sunday night?
I'm more bought in with their offensive line. I think they've got a really good offensive line. They've got a physical offensive line, so I'm kind of bought in with that too. I kind of like the Falcons. Do I like them for 3 points? Maybe. I haven't, you know, this is one of the picks. We got five picks that we're going to make in about 30 minutes from now. Five picks. I'm not sure how I'm going with the Chiefs and the Falcons yet this weekend. Chiefs are getting three, and I don't know how I go. This team, at least from what I can see, and I know it's early, but this is a team that I could see could be pretty good, can be a very good football team. If Cousins stays healthy and everything stays on track, this could be a good football team. Boy, I don't know how I'm going. You got any inkling on how you're gonna bet this yet? Have you made a decision on this game?
Yeah, I think it's probably the toughest pick, out of all the games that we're going to be picking as we know, the Chiefs have not looked outstanding through the first 2 weeks, although they're 2-0.
That's in my consideration. That's correct.
You know, and they didn't cover the spread last week against the Bengals. The Bengals were able to cover that. So I don't know. I mean, on the road in Atlanta in primetime, you would think this would be the week that the Chiefs would show up and flex on national TV. But at the same time, they're hobbled, Paul. I mean, we know Hollywood Brown done for basically the season. Isaiah Pacheco potentially done for the entire season. You know, they did bring Kareem Hunt to the practice squad this week, but you know, it's not like he's going to be playing this weekend. So they're going to be riding with the undrafted rookie Carson Steele and the veteran Samaje Perine in the backfield. That gives me a slight bit of concern. And then when you compare and contrast that to what the Falcons have as offensive weapons and skill players, they've got a bunch of them. Bijan Robinson and Drake London and Kyle Pitts. Like, they've got some big time players. Obviously, from a quarterback perspective, you know, Mahomes is head and shoulders above Kirk Cousins, so I don't have a concern there. But the Falcons do have quite a bit of talent.
Well, I think you're right, too. And also, do you get any consideration for going on the road for the first time? I know you've had preseason and all that, but you go on the road for the first time. That's always a consideration. I don't know if it's that much of a consideration, but I've got some real questions. For the same reasons you just brought up, injury-wise, where is this team? But yet, on the other hand, I think to myself, you still got a guy like Mahomes. You still got a guy like Kelce. You still got some weapons. So you think to yourself, well, yeah, 3 points sounds about right at home. You know, you're a home dog, and that's always attractive in betting, and it's always attractive, a home dog. So I don't know. I still got 30 minutes to make my decision on how to go. But I don't know. It sounds like you're not even quite sure how you want to approach this game, because I know how I'm doing the other games pretty much.
I'm going to hold my cards close to the chest, and you know, until we get to our pick segment at the top of next hour. I will say that, and this doesn't have anything to do with this particular Sunday night game, but it was fascinating yesterday, and I know you weren't on the show, so I'll share this with you and anybody else that didn't get a chance to listen to PJ Glasser on the show. I didn't realize this, that any team this season through the first 2 weeks in the NFL that has been more than a 6-point underdog has covered that spread, every single one of them. There has not been a team that has been favored, or I'm sorry, that is giving getting more than 6 points as a 6-point dog that hasn't covered that spread. All of them have kept those games relatively close. And so in week three, if that trend continues, then even some of the bigger underdogs on the week, you know, the trend is for them to be able to cover that spread.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the NFL. Everybody pays their players, don't they? Last I checked, everybody's getting, you know, pretty good money. So they've all are going to have a certain amount of good football players. So I can kind of see that. I understand that. But it still doesn't help me on trying to make the decision on this particular Chiefs Falcons game. You know, I'm you know, 3 points at home. That's, you know, and you're playing pretty good football. You're a physical football team. You know, I'm kind of, sounds like I'm talking myself into the Falcons. Maybe I'm leaning that direction. You know, I think I've just decided I've moved from unsure to leaning. I think I'm leaning. I'm leaning now. I'm leaning to the Falcons. Haven't selected the Falcons, but I'm leaning.
You know, so going back to week one, the Chiefs, they covered the number, but it was basically just due to that last play out of bounds by Isaiah Likely with the Ravens. Otherwise, they wouldn't have. They didn't cover the spread against the Falcons. So really, like, there hasn't been anything convincing so far this season that would indicate that the Chiefs are in a position to cover a spread, you know, even at a 3-point, you know, number. And that's the interesting thing. I'm not going to, like, live bet this game. If I do, I'm not going to live bet it. I'm not going to bet it until it gets very, very close to kickoff, because I want to see if that line moves around. Three is a really difficult number because you can't win by a field goal and win money. You've got to win by more than 3 points, and that's a difficult ask.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if that line drops to 2.5, if it drops to 2, at that point, you know, yeah, I might consider it. I have concerns, number one, about the way that that offense is going to look. Patrick Mahomes, number two, while he's an incredible quarterback, let's be honest, he's not played particularly well through the first 2 weeks. In fact, last week was not a good outing for him against the Bengals. It was one of the lowest passing yard games that he's had in his career. So he's got to figure that part of it out too. There were some uncharacteristic passes made by Patrick Mahomes, so that concerns me as well. I just don't think that we've seen this offense for Kansas City really kick things into gear through the first 2 weeks.
Well, that might be the case. And I think that, and I think to myself, you know, if there was a time that you kick it in, is this the time? I'm not sure. I just got through talking a few minutes ago about how physical this football team is, and I think it's one of the more physical football teams that I've been able to, you know, gather so far. I mean, we're so early in the season. I haven't even got a good look at a number of teams, so I don't know what some of them have. But this is a good physical football team from what I've seen so far. And this isn't the time to test that theory. This isn't the time to test, well, you know, is this the time for that output of offensive points that you're talking about? See, I'm not sure that this is the time. This is may not be the game that happens. And this could be a game, by the way, and I don't know if this would affect your opinion, because I told you how I like this offensive line. What if this is an offense that is able to control the football? And how do you beat Patrick Mahomes? Well, one of the key ways of beating a Patrick Mahomes-type quarterback is keep him off the field. How do you do that? You run the football, you get first downs, you move up and down the field, you control the football, and you keep him off the field. That's really a true and tried way of beating good football teams with a really good quarterback. And the Chiefs can be, you know, beat and, you know, numbers covered with that philosophy, if you can do it. Now you got to do it, obviously. But I don't know. I think the Falcons, from what I've seen, may be that team that could do that. I don't know. We'll just see. It's going to be a fun game to watch, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, tight end defense through the first 2 weeks for Kansas City, especially last week, has not been good whatsoever. And the Falcons have a stud in Kyle Pitts. And so they've got to try to find a way to limit that and not turn him into Rob Gronkowski out there catching passes. So that's going to be a challenge defensively for Kansas City as well. It's the primetime game on Sunday Night Football. You'll be able to hear it on both KNSS and KFH, the Chiefs radio network coverage with Mitch Holthus on KNSS, and then the Westwood One National NFL on KFH coverage will happen on Sunday night right here on KFH. So you'll be able to hear it, the national call also right here Sunday night. So it should be pretty fun, and we'll be looking forward to that. We'll also pick that game coming up here in hour number two in our Friday football picks. Before we go to break, Paul, we talked Shohei Ohtani in the first break. Ken has left a voice message for us. That by listening to us on the Odyssey app, clicking the microphone button, you can leave a voice message. We'll be able to play it right back. And Ken has a message about Shohei Ohtani. Jad, you can go ahead and play that.
Good morning, gentlemen. Ohtani's accomplishment is fantastic, but also keep in mind that the base stealing number is aided by the recent rule changes. Thank you. Talk to you soon.
You know, that's a really good point, Ken. The rule changes with stolen bases and that sort of thing, it has made it, I guess, you know, slightly easier for players to swipe bases and more difficult for catchers to throw them out, more difficult for pitchers to be able to get the ball to the catcher in a quick manner to be able to throw them out. So, you know, it doesn't, I don't think that it, you know, necessarily diminishes his accomplishments, like Ken says, but that is something to keep in mind.
It is, but I mean, I'm not going to consider it very long. And by the way, did Ken not sound like the Alabama coach, Lou Saban? Did he not sound? Hey, can we play that again, Jad, real quick? Listen to this.
Good morning, gentlemen. Ohtani's accomplishment is fantastic, but also keep in mind that the base stealing number is aided by the recent rule changes. Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Coach Saban.
I did.
Did you catch that?
Honestly, I didn't catch it the first time, but when you said that and listened to it back, 100%.
100%.
Are you sure? You sure you're not moonlighting as Nick Saban out there?
Is that right? Or maybe that was Coach Saban calling this show. He could be a listener.
I highly doubt that, Paul, okay. But you never know. I guess anything is possible, right. But we appreciate Ken reaching
Thanks,
out again.
Ken,
you can leave your messages for the show. We'll play them back here. All you have to do is pull up the Odyssey app, listen to KFH Radio. There's a little microphone icon you click on, and it's like leaving us a voicemail. You can leave a message. We can play it back on the show. And, of course, you can call the IHOP hotline at any time if you want to talk to us live at 869-1240. By the way, IHOP is excited to have its all-you-can-eat pancakes deal. That's going on right now through the end of the month, so we really appreciate IHOP's support of the program. Of course, call that IHOP hotline between now and 11 o'clock, the end of the show, to connect with us at 869-1240. We'll take a timeout on the other side. A quick look at K-State and KU, both in action this weekend. And then hour two gets going very soon from now. Our Friday football picks. We'll also talk high school football in the second hour with TJ Cleland. A lot more coming up for you. Tommy Caster, Paul Savage, Jad Chambers producing the show at Sports Daily, and we'll be right back. K-State football is available for free all season long right here on KFH and on the Odyssey app. Tune in to 97.5 and 1240 KFH Saturday night, tomorrow night at 7:30 for Wildcat football, K-State at BYU, or simply download the Odyssey app and search for KFH at Game Time. Paul, that game happening tomorrow night as the Wildcats travel to Provo to take on BYU. The Jayhawks head the opposite direction and go to Morgantown to take on West Virginia in early kickoff. We're going to pick both of those games coming up as we kick off hour number two. But very quickly, I want to ask you, I'm always curious about this, and you've spent a lot of time on the sidelines around football teams in your career. When you're going into an environment that you've never been in before, it's been decades since you've been there. It's a late night game. I mean, back home, the K-State game is going to kick off at like 9:30 p.m. It'll be Big 12 after dark as they take on BYU. Provo with the high altitude, all of that. Does that ever enter the minds of coaches or players? Or is it more about all we can do is handle our business and execute our game plan? Or do you think it all about we're going to BYU? We've never been there before. It's a raucous environment, late night game with really high altitudes.
No, as a matter of fact, there'll be things that the team does, the coaching staff does to, you know, try to simulate what the conditions will be, what the time will be, and that kind of thing. Not really. I mean, I guess one could make a case that they're in extreme situations, it could, but the excitement of playing a football game, and these guys all understand, you know, there's only X amount of games. Football's not like baseball. There's not 160-plus games in baseball. It's a finite amount of football games that you get to play, and that's why I personally think it doesn't really make a difference. It's a good point, though. Going into an elevated situation like that, we both know that you know, the city of Denver is always – the first ones to, you know, note on their basketball court, on their baseball diamond, and on the football field, just exactly what the altitude is to remind the other team, you know, you're in our territory now. You're mile high. Things, you know, you breathe a little differently. And they're the first. But, no, on this particular case, no, I don't think that that will make a difference. But, you know, it's kind of fun, I think, because maybe, you know, with the time that this game starts, the nation will get a chance to see Kansas State maybe in a way they can't if it's a 1 o'clock game. So maybe
like with one eye open and one eye closed. Oh, so you God, can,
that's
you
not what sleep. I meant. But
it'd be a late night. I'm a little upset that I'm going to have to stay up late to watch this game.
Oh,
but it'll be fun. It should be a fun game, yeah. Though, because BYU is 3-0. The Wildcats flexed last Friday night, especially offensively. And Avery Johnson went to town. Dylan Edwards went to town. DJ Giddens had a good game. So that's going to be a lot of fun to watch them head right to BYU and you know, yeah, have that matchup. On the other flip side, very quickly before we go to break and get into our Friday football picks, it's been the opposite kind of situation for Kansas so far through three games. They lose at home against UNLV a week ago, where they were clearly and obviously the better team the entire game, kind of the same way in the game against Illinois on the road in Champaign last weekend. The Jayhawks are 1-2. They've got some issues at quarterback number one, and they've got some issues, I think, with their offensive coordinator. Where do you stand right now with the Jayhawks through three games?
Well, the real Jayhawks, please stand up, because I don't know. Right now, you've got to show me, because I think it was Wednesday we talked about the Jayhawks, and you know, and granted, even their defense is playing a little better. But I still go back. It was so much in my mind. That winning drive that UNLV had was almost 10 minutes long. 10 minutes long. It was 18 plays. It was 75 yards. It was the kind of drive that you never want to see happen to your football team. So would you please tell me who's the real defense? Because really good defenses don't do that. So I still
have I'm gonna jump in and disagree with you, because the defense had been put in bad situations basically the entire game, especially in the second half. The offense couldn't move the ball at all, and that defense was ragged and tired, and they were constantly being forced back out on the field in bad situations because the offense couldn't get any first downs.
I got you, Tommy. But you know what the job of a defense is? To stop the other team. So you can tell me how tired they were and all that other stuff. What's their job? It's not to go onto the field for 10 minutes and have an 18-play drive that wins the game. That's not what it's about. I'm sympathetic with you to a certain extent, but I'm not so quite sure that I understand it.
Well, hey, look, I think if I were to pinpoint the blame, man, I think there are a couple of different places that I point the blame, including Jalen Daniels, including Jeff Grimes, the offensive coordinator, even Lance Leipold to an extent. I don't put the blame on the KU defense for losing that game against UNLV. They were dog tired by the time that game was all wrapped up. It was unfortunate. They've got to get that figured out. They're 1-2. They've got to turn it around. Big 12 play. It's going to get going. It's going tomorrow. They've got to get it turned around.
You got that starting right. Tomorrow
in Morgantown, taking on West Virginia. We will pick that game. We will pick the K-State game, the Chiefs game, other big college and NFL games in our Friday football picks coming up. On the other side of this break, we'll be joined by Jacob Albrecht. We'll be joined by TJ Cleland. We'll be joined by Brandon Zinner. We'll give you a recap of where things stand through 3 weeks with all of us on our Friday football picks. And we will pick them coming up next right here on Sports Daily. I'm Tommy Caster along with Paul Savage. Jad Chambers producing the show, and we'll be right back with our number two.
In Odyssey Sports Station, this is 97.5 and 1240 KFH. Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Caster.
Hey, sports bettors, ready for some picks destined to fail? It's time to hear what the Sports Daily staff thinks of the weekend games.
Welcome back, everybody. It's hour number two of Sports Daily here on KFH. Tommy Caster, Paul Savage, Jad Chambers producing the program. It's always fun as we get a chance to pick our favorite games of the weekend in both college football and the NFL with our Friday football picks. Here's the great thing about technology today, and as most folks know, we have a live video stream now, so you can pull up the show. You can watch the show on Facebook, on YouTube, on X, also simulcasting on 12 News Connected. So you can join us there. But it also allows our folks to join the program basically from wherever they are. So we're going to bring in everybody that we've got. First off, Jacob Albrecht. I think it looks like you loaded up the station wagon. You're on like a huge family. It's kind of like, National Lampoon's Vacation that I feel like you guys have going on.
That's what it feels like. We are about to cross into Iowa on this drive to the land of Brandon Zinner in Minnesota. We're making our way, but we got the full crew. We got I don't know if you can see behind me. I think you can. They're crammed packed there with three of them.
Yeah, it's prayers for you, my friend. Like, God bless you on this trip taking the family out to Minnesota. And then, of course, Brandon Zinner is on the golf course right now. I'm pretty jealous. Looks like you're having a great round there, Brandon. Are you under par right now?
We are not under par, but we're doing better than so we got this cart whenever I got here, and Jared, whoever played here yesterday, was kind enough to leave their card in the cart. So sorry if you're listening, Jared, but he shot a 123, so it seems like
123.
Good enough to leave his cart behind, but doing just a little bit better than that today.
That's a low bar that you have to get over 123. So hopefully you're able to shoot better than that. And then TJ, you've kind of got a boring morning going on compared to both Jacob and Brandon.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get K-State another national championship here on college football. I got a tee time at 11:30 though, so I'm going to be joining Brandon soon.
All right, I love that. We're going to get going with our Friday football picks. Before we jump into this week's games, Jad, let's give a quick recap on where things stand through 3 weeks.
All right, well, just taking a look at how things have gone here. Last week, Jacob, I know you don't want to talk about this, but you went 2-4 last week.
That's not bad, considering how my season's gone so far.
It really isn't. Tommy, you also went 2-4. Brandon, you also went 2-4. TJ, 1-5.
Yikes.
Yeah. Now, Paul won the week, and again, last week's winner went 3-3, so you only got 500. But I do want to remind everybody, and I made sure to remind Paul of this the other day, too. Paul only took two of those wins that he got because you gave him islands. Technically, Paul's judgment was 1-5.
I love that.
That hurts.
The overall, you know, overall win-loss record says 3-3, but we all know in his head he's 1-5.
We don't need to bring that kind of stuff up. What is wrong with you, Jad?
I love that. That's great. You know, Paul has an overall cumulative lead. Right now he's gone 12-5 through the first 3 weeks of the season, which is pretty impressive. I'm the only other person over 500 right now through the first 3 weeks. So, gentlemen, you've got an opportunity to hopefully try to gain some ground here with these six games. Jad, let's go ahead and hit the music, and we will get right in to our picks of the weekend. Let's start in the college football world. We'll start with the Jayhawks. They are on the road at Morgantown. That's a tough place for them to play. They are 2.5-point dogs on the road against the Mountaineers. It's been a rough stretch for the Jayhawks, as we have talked about at length. Jacob, let's start with you. This very first game, what do you like, the Jayhawks and the Mountaineers in Morgantown?
Well, I like the under again. The under's been fruitful, but that's not an option here. So, look, if KU can't get it done, if they can't get desperate enough to figure it out against West Virginia, then it's gonna be a real long Big 12 season for them. So I'm gonna take Kansas to figure this thing out this week. The changes, run the ball with Jalen Daniels. I think just like the last 2 weeks, they are the better team. That of course hadn't been enough, but getting a few points here, I'll take the Jayhawks.
Brandon, how about you? We'll go to you next. I hope you're not in the middle of hitting a shot right now, so hopefully you can see your golf club. Let's get that pick really quick. That way you can hit this next shot. What do you like?
We're good. Yeah, we're walking out. We got a little chip shot off the green here. But, yeah, kind of what Jacob said, I just don't think KU is – I don't think they're bad enough to lose three games in a row. And this West Virginia squad, they haven't shown a whole lot. I think KU is going to figure out – go into Morgantown, run the ball 30 times with Devin Neal, get Daniel Hyshaw involved more. That's something that they really haven't done the last 2 weeks, and I think that they're going to get that flipped around. And I think KU's going to cover the 2.5. They have a chance to leave Morgantown on a positive note to start Big 12 play.
All right, so two picks so far out of two for the Jayhawks. TJ, how about you?
I'm going to go with the same as them. I don't know if I'm betting with my heart or my head, but I'm in the same boat. I think that they get it turned around. I know I said this last week that I felt like the team was listening and they understand what they did wrong at Illinois and they were going to flip the script. I think that they really need to listen and flip the script now, listen to them talk again. They're actually going to make a physical change between Jeff Grimes and Jim Zabrowski and see if that makes a difference, but I think that they're going to get the job done more in them.
All right, 3-for-3 so far. I'll go next. And look, I was at that game at Children's Mercy on Friday. It was extremely disappointing. It was extremely frustrating. The defense, I thought, played really well. They just couldn't hang on because of all the bad situations they were put in by the offense. The Jayhawks are in desperation mode right now. That can go one of two ways. Unfortunately, I think for Kansas, Big 12 play starts on the road in Morgantown. And even though West Virginia is not a dominant team this season, at home, and they've got some pressure on their shoulders too. I like the Mountaineers. I'm going to take West Virginia. I'm going to lay the 2.5. So I'm going to go West Virginia. Paul, how about you? Do you like the Jayhawks or the Mountaineers?
Darn you, Tommy. Darn you. You were supposed to take KU and give me the island because I'm going to take West Virginia as well. You brought up a lot of questions. Can they run the football? Yes, they can run the football. Can they throw the football? I'm not so sure. Can they sustain drives? I'm still not so sure. Can they play defense? They're not bad. I'm still not convinced they're as good as you guys think they are. There's a lot of questions about KU that I don't know. Going into Morgantown's not easy. That's a tough place to go. West Virginia has always been good at home. I don't know if this is that good a team, but you're going to give me a 2.5 points. I'm going to take West Virginia as well. So, Tommy, you ought to feel pretty good going along with me because, after all, I'm right most of the time.
You know, we are the only two players over 500 right now through 3 weeks. So
there's
that does
reason.
Make some sense. Let's go to the Wildcats. It's a late night game. It's Big 12 after dark on the road in Provo as the Wildcats go to take on BYU. Both teams are 3-0. The Wildcats had a really great offensive explosion last Friday night, taking on Arizona at home. The Wildcats are laying 7 points. Brandon, your thoughts on this game? We'll start with you.
Yeah, I think you're going to take BYU with 7 points at home. Yeah, not so fast. I think back to a couple years ago, we had the K-State road trip to Oklahoma where they started Big 12 playoff in wild fashion. I think Adrian Martinez ran for like 3 touchdowns that game. I think, TJ, you were down there if I remember right. I mean, this kind of just gives me flashbacks to that. I think K-State's going to go on the road. They're going to pull out all the stops, empty the playbook, just start Big 12 playoff in a hostile environment with a W. Give me K-State. Well, a big number, but I'll lay it with the kids.
So laying those 7 points, and Brandon likes it. TJ, how about you?
I'm going to go in the same boat there. I think that if they can beat, if they can cover 7 points against the number 14 team in the country, they can cover 7 points against BYU. I know it's in Provo at midnight, basically, but I think that this K-State team, they looked the best that they have last week. We've said every single week that if they can just cut that offense loose, then they can be really dangerous. Last week showed some glimpses of that. I think that if they keep that trend up, they can cover against anybody. I'm taking them.
Yeah, you know, the only thing that gives me a little bit of pause is, like you said, Brandon, about the TJ, about how late of a game it is, and it's in Provo, and weird things can happen when it's a late night game. That being said, though, it was super impressive for what K-State did at home against Arizona a week ago. Arizona's a good football team, and I've said it all week, the Wildcats kind of flexed, and I think that they'll flex again. I called it a potential coming out party, I guess, for Avery Johnson last week. I think the entire team, it's kind of a coming out party for them this weekend, where they can really solidify their place at the top of the college football rankings. And so I really like the Wildcats. I'm going to lay those 7 points. Paul, how about you? You'll go next.
Well, I'm going to be a little bit of a contrarian because I've got a couple questions for you guys. How many national championships has K-State won? That answer is zero. How many national championships has BYU won? They've won a national championship. How many Heisman winners does K-State have? That'd be zero. How many Heisman Trophy winners does BYU have? That's the answer is one. So with that being said, I'm taking BYU.
Yeah, those teams from the 30s are the impact is still looming large for BYU. Yeah, look, I'll just go. If K-State's ascending, can they cover 7 on the road and at home? I mean, that's a big number, but I think it's big for a reason. And it was interesting that Fitz yesterday pointed out all the injuries across BYU. This will be a good test for the K-State defense, but I think the offense is ascending to a level where it shouldn't matter anymore. So I'll just lay the points. I think K-State's on the right path.
All right, I like that. And, you know, that's the first island of the week, and Paul gets it for taking the historical nature of BYU over what's happening in this millennium, which is a weird way to do it. But hey, you know, Paul, who are we to judge you? You're the only one like dominating right now in these picks.
I dominated last year on my NIL selections one weekend.
Yeah.
You've dominated based on the color of uniforms.
I have, haven't I? That's exactly right.
It's bizarre. Let's go to our final college game before we move into the NFL. It's a top 25 matchup. I'm really intrigued by this game. The Volunteers of Tennessee going to Norman to take on OU. The Sooners are 6.5 point home underdogs in this game. It's going to be, I think, just wild and just a crazy game with two top 25 teams. TJ, let's start with you. What do you like in this matchup?
I love Tennessee in this matchup. I know last week, by the way, I think I took Tulane to cover the 13, but in my actual sports book, I got them live at 21. So I think I should count for something that they did cover that number. I think Tennessee covers this against Oklahoma. I think the Iamaleava is awesome as quarterback. This could be the really big coming out party for Tennessee. Their schedule's been pretty easy thus far. And Oklahoma just really hasn't looked the part. They've played everybody close, and I can't imagine that they can get away with that against the number 16 in the country. I'm taking Tennessee.
Well, it's also a homecoming for Josh Heupel, you know, coming back to Norman in this game tomorrow. I just have such a hard time thinking of Oklahoma as almost a touchdown home underdog. That's just wild for me to wrap my head around. And I guess just because of that, I think OU can keep it within a touchdown at home, even though they haven't been able to really dominate so far this season. The fact that, you know, they're at home and they're getting points, I'm going to take the Sooners. I really like that. Paul, how about you? You'll go next.
Well, you know, I wanted to take Tennessee, but TJ took him. I mean, you know, TJ, I mean, he's not doing too good, is he? I don't know whether I should take this pick or not, but, you know, even a blind squirrel finds an acorn every once in a while. I'm going to go with Tennessee, partly because I like the connection with Heupel coming home to OU. You know, he wants to make a point, and his team will want to make a point for him. I'm going to go ahead and take Tennessee as well.
All right, Jacob, you are up next. What do you like in this game?
Well, I like that we're stopping in small town Missouri at a truck stop. So if I don't make it home, you guys will know where to look. If I'm still with you, something happened here. I'm going to make a spite pick here because I'm mad at OU for costing me a lot of money with that backdoor field goal cover last week. So I'm going to take Tennessee out of spite. How about that? How does that
work
for you?
I like it. That's as good a reason as any.
Making the pick with your heart and not your head. Brandon, you're last. What do you like in this one?
I just do not trust Josh Heupel in the offense to go on the road. I mean, this is a historic SEC matchup. I mean, these two teams are longtime conference rivals. I mean, how are you going to take OU at home against a conference rival in this spot? I'm taking OU. I think I'm going to cover the 6.5. I just don't trust that Josh Heupel offense on the road.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's going to be a wild game. And obviously, we've got a couple different picks here. So it looks like three on Tennessee and two on OU. So let's go ahead and move to the NFL now. The Eagles and Saints. This is probably my pick for my favorite game of the entire weekend because the Saints have looked like absolute juggernauts through the first 2 weeks of the year, especially offensively. Derek Carr is out there balling out, and nobody expected that. They are 3-point home favorites with the Eagles coming to town. The Eagles are very nearly 2-0 had it not been for the Falcons in primetime last week. Paul, let's start with you. What do you like in this game?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm buying in with the Saints one. I really am. I kind of agree with you. It's a fascinating story. It's one that's kind of jumped up. I didn't see this one coming. And you know something? You got to ride that train for just a little bit. Right now, the Saints are sort of the in thing, the thing that has surprised everybody. I'm surprised. I think everybody that's making picks today on this show is a little surprised at the Saints. Let's buy in 1 week. What the heck? Why not? I'm going to take the Saints. I'm buying in. I'm going to buy in with the Saints.
I have a hard time thinking that New Orleans will be able to, duplicate what they've done through the first 2 weeks for the remainder of the season.
That might be.
Who knows? I mean, who knows? They've looked really good so far. Jacob, I know that you're hopefully you haven't disappeared off the map in that truck stop. You're up next.
Eagles. I don't want to read too much into the Saints dominating in a classic Mike McCarthy dud game for the Cowboys, so I'll take the Eagles.
All right. Jacob likes the Eagles. Let's go back to Brandon Zinner. Brandon, you're up.
I just don't know how this is the game of the week in your eyes when you have Sam Darnold and the Vikings hosting 2-0 Houston Texans, C.J. Stroud. I think even all bias aside, that's my favorite game of the week. But I like the home team here. I like what the Saints have done. I think they're going to keep it rolling. I think they're just creating a lot of mismatches right now. And how can you just bet against them at this point? Give me the Saints.
All right, TJ, you're next.
I saw a stat this morning on Twitter that the murder rate in New Orleans is at an all-time low this month. There hasn't been a single murder in 18 days. I'm riding with the Saints because what a time to be in New Orleans right now. It's insane what's happening in that city, and the football is insane as well. Give me the Saints. The Eagles didn't do it for me on Monday Night Football. I'm picking New Orleans.
You're going to have a better week this week because you're now figuring out how do you pick on this show. You're starting to figure it out.
Clearly, the residents of New Orleans are much happier through the first 2 weeks of the season, and that's why that crime rate has gone down. I love that stat, by the way. I'm also taking New Orleans, but I'm not taking them because of that. I just think that, you know, what they've been able to do through the first 2 weeks offensively is pretty impressive. Again, like I said, I don't know if that will maintain throughout the entire season. I don't think it will, but I think through 3 weeks it can definitely. And I'm just not a believer in the Eagles. I just really am not. I don't like Nick Sirianni. I don't think that he's got control of this team, even though they do have a ton of talent. And, you know, AJ Brown, without him, they look kind of pedestrian offensively. So give me the Saints. I'm going to lay those 3 points at home. The Ravens and the Cowboys, let's do that game next. And Jacob, I'm gonna start with you with this game, because I did this on purpose, because obviously you're a Cowboys guy. They looked really good in the first week on the road at Cleveland, and then their very first home game in Jerry World, they laid an egg against those Saints. They're back at home against the Ravens, who are 0-2. Is this a trap game in your mind? What do you like here from the Cowboys? We got you muted, Jacob. You got to unmute yourself, my friend.
There we go. Okay, so I don't think it's a trap game. I think it's just a little strange for a couple of reasons. One, as much as McCarthy likes the dud games after a big game, he likes the opposite of that, too. They could come out and be world beaters. I have a hard time because I do not remember the last time the Cowboys got points at home. And I also can't imagine the Ravens being 0-3. This is a really, really hard game. I'll take the Cowboys at home in a response game, and that means the Ravens would be 0-3, which is hard to imagine. I don't feel good about it at all, but I do think they're due for a response, and we'll see if they can get it here against the Ravens.
Yeah, as of right now, the Ravens are laying a point, so it's basically a money line type game. It's a coin flip type game. Brandon, you're up next. Ravens and Cowboys. Ravens, are you riding with them, laying 1 point on the road?
It's just... this is a weird game, as Jacob was talking about, because how often do we see the Cowboys at home underdogs? But I don't think anybody in the NFL expects the Ravens to start 0-3. And so I think this is just, while he thinks it's a response game for the Cowboys, I think it's a response game for the Ravens. They have two one-score losses. They've been right there. I would not be surprised if the Ravens go in there and put a beating down on the Cowboys as well. Give me the Ravens.
All right, TJ, what do you like? Do you like the Cowboys getting a home point, or do you think the Ravens come in and beat the Cowboys in Dallas?
I've been going back and forth because my head says that it's got to be the Ravens, which probably means that it's going to be the Cowboys based on how the picks have gone so far. But I'm going to go with Brandon on this one, that I think that the Ravens are just too talented to be 0-3, and weird things happen in Jerry World, as we saw last week. So I think it's a response game. I still think Lamar has been playing awesome, even in the losses. So something's got to give. I think it gives this week.
Yeah, don't underestimate the fact that the Ravens do not absolutely want to be 0-3, and it's kind of desperation mode. You know, John Harbaugh is kind of in uncharted territory. He hasn't had his Ravens teams historically at this place, and so I think they will do everything in their power to avoid that. I think they go to Dallas, and I think they win by a touchdown or more, and I like the Cowboys, but I was really surprised about their effort at home a week ago, so give me Baltimore. I'm going to lay the 1 point. Paul, how about you? Are you riding with Brandon and I here with the Ravens, or are you jumping on with Jacob?
Well, you know something? The Cowboys, Jacob, I hate to say this, but they're not studs on defense. They're a little soft. I'm not crazy about their ability to stop the run, particularly with what their quarterback brings and the ability to scramble, to make plays, to do those kind of things. Although Parsons is going to be fun to watch this guy. He may make a ton of tackles. I don't know. But right now, I just don't know how I buy into the Dallas Cowboys. They're my number two team in the NFL. They're my number two team. I'm a Texas guy at heart when it comes to that kind of stuff. And I guess I got to take the Ravens because, after all, I'm a serious player in this game with you guys.
All right, so that's the second island of the week. Jacob gets it. He's riding that Cowboys island, which is a little nerve-wracking for me if I were him, but it is what it is. Our final game that we're going to pick here on the six-game slate, in my opinion, is the toughest game of the weekend to pick, and I still don't exactly know what direction I'm going to go. The Kansas City Chiefs in primetime on the road in Atlanta. They're laying 3 points against a Falcons team that is 1-1. Kirk Cousins led them to a last-second victory a week ago. Brandon, let's start with you. We'll have you kick things off for our final pick here. Do you think the Chiefs can cover that spread they didn't cover a week ago against the Bengals? What do you like here?
I'm picking the Chiefs for one reason only. It's two words. His name is Kirk Cousins. I don't like him in primetime. I don't like him in general. He got the last laugh when he literally won in primetime just on Monday. But I just don't trust Kirk Cousins in primetime. I watched him burn bridges in Minnesota for too many years at night. So, plus the white on whites. Are you going to bet against the Chiefs and the white on whites? Give me the Chiefs by at least more than three. I want to say a million, but I'm not that confident.
That sounds like another spite pick going on today. So that's fine. That's a great way to pick with your heart, not your head. TJ, how about you?
While I've got the soapbox here, I want to go on the record and say that the Chiefs white on whites might be their worst uniform. It's the most overrated in football. I can't.
Wow.
Anyways, I'm going to go. I think I'm betting with the heart again on this one. I'm picking the Chiefs to cover this one. I know we just saw what we saw the Falcons do on Monday night, but I also watched that week one game where they lost to nothing but field goals to the Steelers. I think that there's a lot of talent in Atlanta. I don't know if they've got it all together yet, and I don't think that the week to do it is against the defending back-to-back Super Bowl champs. The Chiefs are going to win this one by more than three.
You know, I think what makes this game difficult is the fact that, you know, through the first two games of the season, the Chiefs are 1-1 against the spread. And really, the only reason they're not 0-2 against the spread is Isaiah Likely's toenail. That's the only reason why they at least cover that number in week number one against the Ravens. So they've not been good, really, honestly, against the spread this season. For that fact and that fact alone, I think I'm going to take the Falcons and I'm going to take those points at home. And honestly, I think a lot of it has to do with the skill position players that the Falcons have. The Chiefs obviously are without Brown. They're without Pacheco. Patrick Mahomes did not look good a week ago. I think the Chiefs will win the game, but they have kept every game very, very close, too close so far this season. Because of Bijan Robinson and Drake London and Kyle Pitts and the crew around Kirk Cousins, I'm going to take the Falcons and I'll take those home points. Paul, how about you?
Well, the Chiefs like to win by one, it seems like, doesn't it? I mean, they're getting in there. Now, here's the thing. I took the Chiefs and gave the points, still won, but the Chiefs didn't cover the points. That's going to happen again. This is going to be a one-point game, maybe a two-point game. So I'm going to take the Falcons and have the best of both worlds. The Chiefs win, I cover. I like the Falcons. I'm going to take them. Chiefs win by one.
Jacob, you are last here. What do you like here? Are you going to jump on board with the Chiefs or are you going to ride with the Falcons?
So here's what I don't like is that the Falcons have a pretty good tight end. And that's been a problem for the Chiefs. They have a good pass-catching running back, which has been a problem historically for the Chiefs. They're on the road. Here's what I really don't like. Atlanta has a pretty good run defense, and I do think the Chiefs need to run the ball. However, I think this is the game Travis Kelce unlocks just a little bit. I am a believer in Carson Steele leading the backfield, and so I think he is motivated out of his shoes to be good in this game. I think it's close. I like the under. Are we going 3 or 3.5 on this one? Remind me.
I got the line this morning at 3. So
it, okay, I'm going to take the Chiefs. If it was 3.5, I might not. But these Butker games keep happening. I'll take it at 3. I'll take the Chiefs. This is going to be a really interesting test for them.
Yeah, I even mentioned in the first hour that I wasn't going to actually bet this game until I saw where the line finished on Sunday morning, because I think it could go a couple different directions, but at least 4.
I would love to get it at 2.5. I would love to get it at 2.5.
Same here. If it drops to that point, then at that point I'll probably end up betting this game. But for right now, I'm going to stay away from it. It's going to be a fun primetime matchup. It'll be a fun weekend overall. Gentlemen, I don't know about you, but after all of that, I'm exhausted. Are you guys exhausted after making those picks? Because that was a wild segment with, you know, Jacob, you're at some sketchy truck stop in middle of nowhere, Missouri. Brandon is burning holes all over the place. I mean, there's been a lot going on here in the last 25 minutes.
Yeah, either you're welcome to the video audience or I'm sorry for how shaky the camera work has been the last half hour. But
yeah.
You know, life goes on, fellas. Life is wonderful, isn't it? To do this kind of stuff while you're having fun.
It's on the fly. Live radio. It's on the fly.
This is everybody's having fun.
Yep. We'll let Jacob and Brandon go. TJ will hang on with us into the next segment, and we'll talk a little high school sports, talk catch at Kansas, everything going on in the high school football world. That's coming up for you on the other side. We'll be right back. Tommy Caster, Paul Savage at Sports Daily. Welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily on KFH. Tommy Caster and Paul Savage, TJ Cleland from 12 News and Catch It Kansas continues here with us on the program. Hopefully, fellas, you guys were able to catch your breath a little bit during the break as we get in talking high school football. TJ, we've got a lot to talk about in the high school football world, you know, especially the City League games, the game of the week from a week ago with Northwest and East, that whole game and everything. But where I want to get started, and really the only reason that I want to bring this up first, is because out my window right now, I can see the stadium. And so it's top of mind for me. Andover, their game a week ago against Mays, that was a big win for Andover. Is this program for real? We talked last week about how they very nearly got a win in week one. It definitely seems like this program that was down in the dumps a season ago is now starting to turn things around.
Yeah, I'm glad we're starting with that, because that was going to be my main point. Is even though my picks were terrible last week, I said that Mays better be on the lookout because Andover could get that one done. So yeah. Happened here on KFH. Go back, look at the podcast. It's there. I think that Andover, like we said, we've covered them for the past couple of years. I know last year was an 0-9 year. The year before, they only won a couple. We've watched them play a couple of times, and they felt like they lost a lot of one-score games. They had a lot of talent on these teams. They bring a lot of that talent back this year. They get a new coach. May have been the refresh that they needed. They nearly beat Capen in week one, a team that went to the state championship. They beat Mays, who's historically awesome. This week they played Goddard. Week one, Goddard beat Mays by 4 points. It was 7-3 in that one. So very well, if the Andover offense shows up, we can see them win another one and win back-to-back games, which sounds unheard of that we talked about a year ago. We went out, Rachel Hallam, our reporter, went and talked to them this week. We did a story on them, and it was the best story I've heard in a couple of weeks, is that they were saying, like, what a time to be alive. It's a high. We were crying in the stands. It's the best part about high school football.
Paul, not to bring up bad memories here. So last week, of course, you were on the sideline for Northwest and East. Of course, you're on the East side, but Northwest came in. It was a defensive battle, low scoring game as Northwest gets the win 14-0. Definitely valiant effort by the Blue Aces. What were your big takeaways from that matchup a week ago?
Well, I thought it was a fairly even matched football game. I mean, we gave up, East gave up two long plays, but you know something? Sometimes you have to stop those kind of plays. But it was a fun game to coach in, and I really enjoyed it a lot. It was a physical football game. And one of the games that kind of interests me this week is Junction City and Northwest. Junction City pretty good. Northwest is pretty good. I think Northwest will probably win this game, but any feel on that game? Because this is a big 6A game, Junction City and Northwest. I mean, you know, we always hear about the teams on the east side of the state. I guess Junction City, is that east side of the state? I think it
Yeah, it is.
Okay. But anyway, I think that's a big game. The other interesting thing that I saw this week is that, and TJ, you can address this, it's interesting that Wellington is still ranked as one of the ranked teams in 3A. I find that fascinating. They're 0-2,
yeah,
and yet they're still ranked. Why is that?
Yeah, they're our game of the week this week. We're going to be down there watching them play Clearwater. Clearwater has had a little bit of woes. I know last year I think they won two or three games. They're off to a 2-0 start. They moved their star wide receiver. He's playing quarterback this year. So maybe it's a different team that we've seen. And for that reason, it's our game of the week. It's a 2-0 team that has proven that they may be a different team. And Wellington's 0-2 and they're ranked, but they're ranked because they lost to Collegiate by 2 points, I think. They lost to Andale by a touchdown and had them on the ropes the entire game. They were leading in the fourth quarter in both of those games and have just fallen short. Looking at their schedule, I wouldn't be surprised if Wellington wins every single game the rest of the way until the playoffs. They're really good. Their quarterback is one of the best in the state, Dusty Bannister. They got a really good wide receiver named Carter Burnett. I watched them in that Collegiate game, and they looked like freaking Patrick Mahomes, Texas Tech offense, just going full air raid mode. They throw the hell out of the football. Right. They were really fun team to watch. Now, it should be an excitement on that.
By the way, Tommy, that quarterback for Wellington threw against Andale. That's a good football team defensively. Threw for 480 yards.
Yeah,
480 yards in a high school game. I mean, when was the last time you saw that? I don't even know that I've ever seen it personally live. I've never seen that. So they are good. I guess that answers my question. Why are they still ranked? They're darn good.
Damn right.
Yeah, and you know what? Andale, credit to them, because they survived that shootout against Wellington. Andale back at home tonight taking on Rose Hill. Another game, Paul, that you're involved with tonight with East taking on Capen. I know we've talked about it before, the respect that that you have for Weston Sharts taking over the Capen program a couple of years ago. You know, Capen, as TJ mentioned a few minutes ago, they made it to the state championship game a year ago. Maybe not quite as talented because they lost some of their key performers from last year to this year. What's the biggest challenge that the Blue Aces, as you guys are preparing for this game, look to try to stop Capen?
It's the same thing that every coach, TJ, make a note of this, because every coach, whenever they play Capen, they're probably going to tell you the same thing. We stop power off tackle, we stop ISO, we stop trap, and we stop toss. If you can stop those four plays, you have a chance of beating Capen. The problem is stopping them. That's the problem. Because you know they're coming, and they do it anyway. So that's the problem. TJ, I think you'd probably agree that Capen is one of those teams that says, here's what we're going to do. We dare you to stop us. Am I far off on that?
Yeah, I haven't watched them play this year, but just watching them play when Omari Elias was playing running back for them, that's exactly right. I remember last year watching them play against Northwest in probably one of the best games of the year. They found themselves like 3rd and 15, right. Like, we're going to trap it up the middle and he's going to run for 30
right.
yards. And it's absurd how well that they do it. And
I know
what they're going to do.
Tell me about it.
I haven't seen what it looks like without Omari Elias back there. I imagine it has to drop off a little bit when you lose the city's all-time leading rusher. So I don't know what the offense looks like. Tonight's going to be the biggest test that they've faced so far against that East defense that has so many playmakers.
You know, we kicked off the segment by talking about Andover. Of course, they beat Mays last week. Mays is back home this weekend taking on Hutchinson in a big 6A matchup. You know, obviously, TJ, historically, Hutchinson's been a pretty strong program. I know they've already played Derby this season. Now they're on the road taking on Mays. Is this a game that you think Mays can bounce back from their loss against Andover a week ago, or is Hutchinson just too powerful?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. You know, we really touted Hutchinson up to be a really great team. I'm not sure. I know Terrell King, he's their cornerback / wide receiver / running back, the guy that drives the bus to the games, everything like that. He was injured week one. I think he was in week two as well. So completely different team. I mean, you don't have that kind of player on the field. We saw him lose by multiple scores to Andover Central in week one when he wasn't out there. So if he's without him, this could be a game that Mays could bounce back against them. But there's still a lot of talent there as well. But even though Mays lost two games and lost two games they probably should have won, they've got one of the fastest dudes in the state in their wide receiver room in Bryson Hayes. And they just need to find ways to get him the football, and the offense will click, I think. I think that we saw what they've done with this offense when they went to the state championship back-to-back years. It's the same coaching staff. It's everything. They just need to – I know that you don't have Avery Johnson playing quarterback.
Right.
But still a lot of talent, a lot of great things that can happen for the Mays Eagles. I don't think the season's over yet, and they showed that last year.
Hey, yeah, that's – I mean, look, I think just real quick, Paul, I mean, you drop off. And I think people, you know, not that you forget about it, but – like you just expect Mays and programs like that when they've got super talented players to just continue as just a factory. Avery Johnson is one of one, right? And so it makes it that much more difficult when you've got to try to replace him at quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I know that they last year they had Drew Kemp. He went down with an injury, and they kind of had to fall back to a dude that was a true freshman last year.
Yeah.
And Pierce, I can't remember his last name. I know his first name's Pierce. He was a true freshman last year. He's gotten some snaps back there this year. And it seems like the offense just hasn't really figured it out. I talked to Coach Guzman before the season started, and they said they're going to have to get creative. You know, when you have a Nebraska commit in your offense somewhere, you got to find a way to get him more involved, whether that's putting him a running back, putting him a wide receiver. And there's a lot of guys on this team that are going to be playing on Saturdays, whatever level that may be. There's just something that needs to click. But, you know, last year, like I said, they were not a great team. They lost a lot of games and still found a way to win two or three playoff games late down the stretch. So I think that it's a tough start for them, but it's not over yet.
You know, TJ, I'd love you to give me the top two or three, let's say three guys, three players in Kansas right now. The three highest recruited kids that you're aware of, and there's a number of them, but give me your top three most highly recruited players in the state of Kansas. Doesn't matter what position, doesn't matter what class they're in, doesn't matter what school. What are your top three most highly recruited kids?
Yeah, just for kids in our area, at least, I can't be that much to vouch for the eastern side of the state. But obviously, when you look at Goodland, you got Lincoln Kier out there, and he's a freak in everything that happens out there.
That's right.
He's awesome. But even just keeping it in the Wichita area, I think that Desaun Brame, the tight end from Derby, is probably one of the best that you'll see in the city. I know he was committed to Oregon. He flipped to Tennessee. Watching him last year, you're like, that's a dude that you're probably going to be seeing play football for a long time, past the next level. I think that he's got that kind of frame and everything goes right at the next level. We could see him play on Sundays, maybe. That's a big statement, but great talent there. And then just looking at some of the others, you know, between East and Northwest, some of the guys there, off the top of my head, just naming a couple. Northwest has the linebacker, John Michael Fountain, is a class of 2026 guy. I know that Iowa State was there last week watching that game, watching him and Jalen Mason. Matt Campbell flew into Wichita to watch that game. I like John Michael Fountain a lot on the defense. Just some of the highlights that he made last week are incredible. Ian Premer, great Bend guy, number one player in 2026. Like a 6'6" twig, pretty much, but he's one of the stupidest athletic players in the state. We joke. We have a couple of stringers that live in Great Bend, so we get a lot of Great Bend content coming in, and the dude plays football, basketball, baseball, and track. And he's good at every single one of them. So we thought about just renaming the show the Ian Premer Show after how much he is dominating the Catch a Kansas show every week.
I love that. TJ, we've got just a quick moment left before we let you go. What do you guys have going on at Catch a Kansas? What are the other big games you guys are covering this weekend?
Yeah, one that didn't get mentioned that I want to bring up is Ark City at Andover Central. Last week, I think Ark City went 2-7 last year or 1-8 last year, something like that. They only picked up one win, and I think it was over Andover, now that I'm saying it. Last week, they beat Salina Central, who's a team that is constantly a great team in 5A. They've got one of the best quarterbacks in 5A, I think, in Jack Gordon. They went to Ark City. Ark City knocked them off by a point. Now they get Andover Central, the biggest, a big test that you can get pretty much in the area in that classification. Andover Central is a great team. I expect them to be competing for a state championship this year. But Ark City, when you knock off a team like that, it's a statement. If they can knock off Andover Central, that's an even bigger statement. So that's one that we'll be watching tonight, definitely. So this week we've got Rachel Hallam and Brandon Zinner. Rachel was at Kansas State last week, so we kind of get the full staff coverage going tonight for the first time. So we'll have live coverage leading up to all the games on 12 News and then have the Catch at Kansas show. It's going to be a late one. I know I think we've got CW football, ACC tonight. So Catch a Chill will be about 2 a.m. So make sure you're checking up on the website so you can catch all the games. There still will be coverage coming on, I promise, even if it's not there for you.
Yeah, it's going to be a late night. Get some rest leading up to it. Of course, you can get all the coverage at catchatkansas.com. And like you mentioned, TJ, make sure to check out the Catch at Kansas show. Enjoy the games this weekend, TJ. We're glad that we've got you on the program. We'll talk to you again next week.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
All right. There goes TJ Cleland, 12 News and Catch at Kansas. We're going to step aside for another timeout. We'll come back and wrap up the show next. It's Sports Daily on KFH. This portion of Sports Daily brought to you by our friends at Crestview Country Club. Want to thank them for their support of the program. It was a hot day yesterday, going to be a hot day today, and I think tomorrow too, Paul. But then Sunday rolls around, the temperature drops, the weather's going to be beautiful. There's nothing I love more than playing golf in the fall. I think it's going to be just absolutely beautiful outside. So we want to thank Crestview for their support of the program. You can find out more about being a member at Crestview Country Club and taking advantage of those really nice days. Contact them and they'll definitely take care of you.
Oh, there's no question about that. And they always treat us so well, don't they? I'm just really proud to have Crestview as one of our sponsors. I think it's wonderful. I love them out there.
Yep, 100%. So we appreciate them and them being a part of Sports Daily. We have just a moment before we go to our final break and then wrap up the show. We'll tell you all about the weekend schedule coming up on the other side. But really quick, Paul, I know we talked about it at the very beginning of the show. The Kansas City Royals have a huge 3-game set at home this weekend at Kauffman, taking on the Giants. I'll actually be at the game tomorrow night, so I'm looking forward to that. But really, I think it's going to be that much more essential for Kansas City to handle their business at home this weekend because they finish up the regular season on the road.
Well, yeah, it's a big deal. This is a big deal. I mean, you want to see the team that's a 2-time Super Bowl champion dominate a little more, don't you? I mean, I kind of want to see that. This is supposedly a team that's going to three-peat. And, boy, it's a long season if you're going to win by one, win by two, play those kind of close games. Now with the Ravens, you get it. The Ravens at the time they played were supposed to be, well, actually, a lot of people thought that was a preview of the Super Bowl, and rightfully so. Why not? It could be of Super Bowl teams. So I don't know where the Chiefs are right now. I don't know that we've seen the real Chiefs, but I want to see the real Chiefs take a team and put them away. And when I mean put them away, I mean win a game by 10, win a game by 12, something like that. And we haven't seen that. So that's kind of what I'm looking for. I'm looking for some domination, Tommy. I'm looking for some physical domination.
Yeah, that game, of course, in primetime Sunday night in Atlanta, the Chiefs take on the Falcons. You can hear the Chiefs Radio Network on KNSS. You can hear the national coverage right here on KFH. We'll run through the entire weekend schedule, including that three-game set in Kauffman as the Royals take on the Giants. We'll talk about that and everything else going on the network. On the other side, it's Sports Daily on KFH.